And welcome into another version of the Falcon Cast here. You can take us live on iTunes. Just Google search Falcon Cast. Don't Google search. Just iTunes search Falcon Cast, and you'll be able to come up with us today. John Michaels, DJ Shockley. Where's Jay?
Nope. You what, see Jay?
Where's Jay at? Jay.
There's an open seat over here for some reason.
There's just cables sitting here. So we got Bosek sitting in today. Brian Bosek, as always, does a great job producing this fine program, but he'll be chiming in a little bit more. Shock, we got a lot to get into today. It's that point of the season or that point of the offseason where you can really dive into the NFL draft. Literally 1 month away from the NFL draft happening, less than 1 month at this point. You deal with that stuff. You start to deal with the end of free agency, a couple of ancillary moves. So we'll do some more fun topics today. Bosek's got a buy or sell for us.
Yeah,
we got a break with Bosek that I absolutely love. I'm having a hard time figuring this one out. We'll do a final play, obviously, later on in the program, but a lot of Falcon stuff to get into. But before we do that, Shock, the question that everybody in Atlanta Falcon Nation wants to know: Bosek, did you watch Coming to America?
Yes, I did, actually.
How many times did you watch it? You just watched it like two or three times. No, but how was it, Bo? Give us your real feeling of what you thought of when you watched Coming to America.
All right, so I watched it Sunday night.
Okay.
I tweeted you, DJ, intro.
Yeah.
It was not what I was expecting. I don't know what I was expecting, but it was not what I was expecting. Eddie Murphy was great. I wasn't ready for Eddie Murphy to play all the roles that he did.
We tried to tell you.
And you didn't know he was everybody to the end, and they showed all
of them. I picked up some of them. Like the barbershop, I picked up it was him. And you were quoting him.
Yeah, you said last week.
Rocky Marciano.
Yeah.
So when you heard it, you was like, oh, now I know what they talk about.
Yep, yep, exactly. I thought it was good. Maybe it was just too jacked up to me. But I didn't think it was amazing.
We hyped it up too much.
Yeah, you hyped it up too much. But I liked it, though.
Eat the face!
I was entertained. It was a good little plot. It was very cliche, but it was...
Now, the movie came out in 1988, 1989? It's an older movie. Okay.
Did you think he was going to get the girl at the end, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, you knew it. I knew it some way or another, huh?
I knew it was her when she was coming down the aisle with the veil over her face.
King Joffrey Jeff was heading through for her.
He has his own money.
Yeah. The man got his own money.
I love when they're at the basketball game and he's standing in line to use the bathroom and the two guys walk by.
Oh my goodness, it is you.
I must bow down. And the lady's looking at she's like, what?
Bosek, do you have a favorite part? Anything you remember that was like, oh man, that was hilarious?
The first thing that comes to my mind is right as he gets to New York and the cab driver says something to him I don't want to repeat, but that's the first part that comes to my mind.
For me, it was awesome in that, and right from that very scene when they've got all their luggage sitting outside this rickety building in Queens, and then you see the guy come up with all their, hey, I got gold toothbrushes, I got watches, too.
Did you like Arsenio Hall's part in it?
Yeah, he was all right.
He was cool, he was all right.
Yeah, he was all right.
What about him when he was up on the stage and they had the... the pageant.
The show.
Sexual chocolate. With Randy Watson.
And he dropped the mic.
That was good.
That was funny.
It was all right.
What about, good. Good and terrible.
DJ, how many times have you guys seen the movie?
At least 100.
At least.
Really?
At least.
Wow.
That's a movie when
it never gets old to me, though.
Unedited, you have to watch it over and over.
Yeah, I'll have to watch it again.
You see so many different parts, so many things that'll catch your eye.
Yeah.
It would be funny when you watch it over and over.
I did like the McDowell's and the McDonald's. Mm-hmm. That was pretty close.
They have the Big Mac. We've got the Big Mick. There's this... two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. We don't have the sesame seed bun. Again, I've seen the movie way too many times.
I like the subtle part when he had the McDonald's manual.
And he was looking at something on the inside. Mr. McDowell was a little, you know, he was a little off too.
Which daughter would you have taken, DJ? I know you're married now, met your wife, great person. But which daughter would you have taken?
That's not even.
You would have taken Lisa, question. Curly-haired
Come on.
One?
Come on, yeah.
I would have too, but I probably would have gone for the wild one at least once.
Mm-mm.
Just one time, just because she was.
Lisa was beautiful.
She was.
She was beautiful. The first thing you said, that good little curly hair.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Soul Glow. She had to get rid of Soul Glow, man.
So, would you, if you were the dad in that situation, Mr. McDowell, would you have taken the money from the king?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. No doubt.
I'll take the money.
I was a little shocked that he didn't take the money.
No doubt. I took that.
I mean,
not enough money to buy you.
Let the king insult your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
and take the money.
Yeah, I'm taking the money, and then if my daughter wants to leave later on, so be it. Yeah.
$1 million? Not a, oh, no! Come on, man. You gotta take that bread, man.
That man was wearing an entire lion.
Come on, man. That man had a whole lion on him, man.
Like, that's what he was wearing. He had to walk on roses. He had people that were paid just to drop rose petals.
Well, I like the irony of the lion, because a few years later he did Lion King, and he was the voice of Mufasa.
Yeah.
He was. That's a great call.
Yeah.
See, so. You caught that. I never caught that.
Yeah, I'm a 90s kid, though. So.
I knew he was the voice, but I never put that together.
Yeah. It was good.
He's done a lot of other voices, hasn't he?
Yeah,
he's got a good voice.
Yeah.
Me, not so much, so we'll move on. And the Lion King around these parts is Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
There's some people that might say he is the Lion King. Some would say he's not. They'd say he's Chris Jericho, the Lion Tamer, whatever you want to call him.
Mufasa.
But the Falcons right now, and it was great. I love this report how it came out this week. Luther Campbell, who I'm a dear fan of, listened to his music forever, and he's been a mentor to Devontae Freeman. So there's a connection between Luther Campbell and the Atlanta Falcons. He tweeted, hey, it's awesome that Devontae Freeman has got all these Atlanta Falcons down here in Miami working out. He facilitated this whole thing, at least according to Luther Campbell. And then Sarah Ryan, Matt Ryan's wife, literally about an hour later sends a tweet to Vaughn McClure of ESPN. And he says, or she says, Vaughn, Matt set up this whole meeting. So 27 guys from the Falcons down in Miami working out, working together, working on the offense. Shock is a former quarterback. How important is that in this time of the year when coaches cannot set you out and have you do drills?
It's major. It's I think one of the biggest things that we talk about is the leadership part of it. And Matt being in, was going into his eighth year, I believe it is. You have to do things like this. We've heard it for years, Peyton Manning. You hear the guys, they do it all the time. They have guys fly wherever, and they come. And if anything, it's the camaraderie of getting guys together. You're away from the Falcons facility. You're away from Flowery Branch. You're away from the coaches. You're away from the tenseness of what is, you know, this building at times that we're in. And the guys are able to get away and have a good time. They can go out to dinner. They can go out to, you know, have a good time, go golf, whatever it may be. They have time to come together and have that camaraderie. And also, you get out on the field, and instead of, you know, you have coaches, you got all that kind of stuff out there, guys can talk to each other. You can run a route, you can run a play and say, all right, this is kind of what I was thinking. Or I remember we had the game where this was going on, that was going on, and I know we're supposed to come out of this way, but how did you like it? Things right. like that will come back in August and September when you get into camp, when you get into preseason. Stuff like this right here makes a whole lot of a difference for not just Matt. It makes a lot of difference for a lot of guys on the team. And for 27 guys to get out there, mm-hmm. I mean, not everybody lives in the state of Florida. Not a lot of guys. Guys got families. Guys got stuff going on. Guys are doing whatever with the kids. But 27 guys, and you got to think about it, there's 53 guys on the roster. You got, right. you know, have guys going out there to be a part of this. This is huge. It's an awesome job by Matt to orchestrate this and then to get the guys there. They had 3 days of it. I think today was the last day that they were out on the field doing some things. So it speaks volumes, not just for Matt, but speaks volumes for everybody around them that they want to set this time aside to go out and get better. Mm-hmm. And when everybody could be doing something else, away doing whatever, vacation or whatever.
Let's be real. He didn't have to twist arms too hard to go to Miami. It's not like he said, hey, we're going to we're going to Wichita, Kansas. We're going to work out there. I got a feeling 27 goes down to about 8 if you go to Wichita, Kansas. But you're right. I remember the lockout a few years ago.
Yeah.
And players were not allowed to be around the organization. I don't even think they could come up here to Flowery Branch because business in the NFL was closed. And Matt Ryan did the same thing then. And, you know, I've heard from a lot of our fans and a lot of different people that have said, you know, hey, Matt Ryan's not a leader. And I had a show on 92.9 The Game yesterday where people said, you know, he's not a rah-rah guy. He just sits on the sidelines and does nothing. And I said, what are you guys talking about? First of all, there's a protocol. When you come off the field, you get your Microsoft Surface, you sit down, you scout the last drive, boom. Matt Ryan's in the face of offensive linemen.
Yeah.
He's in the face of the wide receivers.
Yeah.
He's screaming at the defense. This is what your quarterback's supposed to do. Now, the results on the field a year ago were not where Matt would want them to be, and they're not where any of us would want them to be. But to think that this guy isn't a leader is just pure hatred.
What's crazy is I've watched it. I've been on the sideline with Matt. I've been on the sideline during games. And the first thing that Matt does usually when he comes off is, okay, usually we go to the side where the defense usually sits down. The offense is on the other side. And usually Matt puts the helmet down, and he goes straight to the lineman. He goes straight to the receivers. He goes straight to the running backs. He says two or three things to them. And then he comes back and he sits down with the OC. He sits down with the QB coach. And then we start looking at the surface. You start looking at the copies of the plays that you just ran. And then you start going through it. So I remember maybe a year or two back, and everybody was up in roar about I can't remember. What was it? Was it Carolina? And Matt, you know, yelled to the other side, get the
– Oh, that was Carolina. Absolutely.
But he doesn't have the rah-rah.
Right.
He doesn't – if you – Bo, I know you guys got tons of clips of him on the sideline going crazy or getting hyped or, you know, yelling and have a or being that guy on the sideline. So to say he doesn't have that emotion or doesn't carry it is nonsense because he does. I've been around him. He has it.
Yeah, I wish I could release the full Matt Ryan mic'd up from Monday night when they played the Eagles. Just
he gets into
all
it.
3 hours of it. Yeah. Well, I didn't record for 3 hours, but I wish I could record, like, I think it's like hour and a half footage. And you would see the passion that that guy has. He is rah-rah for sure.
And it's nice that you say that outside of me or DJ because, you know, people don't – I know there's hate for Matt because we haven't won a Super Bowl. And I completely understand the reasoning behind that. But then go look around the rest of the National Football League. Go look at the quarterbacks that a lot – and are there quarterbacks better than Matt? Yeah. Matt would be the first to admit there are players that are better than him. But start to look around the league and see who the players really are that are there. And how many guys are better leaders than he is? Look at the talent that they're playing with. And immediately fans will point, well, he's got Julio Jones. He should win a Super Bowl.
No.
Doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't work. Troy Aikman didn't win Super Bowls every year, and he had Emmitt, and he had Michael Irvin. They had one of the greatest offensive lines. The point is, it's one team every year that wins a Super Bowl. But little things like this. Simply put, this guy wants to win. He doesn't want to go out and have the year that he had a year previous. And I think people, instead of nitpicking everything in April, should maybe applaud the guy for once and be happy that we have him as a quarterback and we're not like other organizations that are running around like a chicken with their head cut off trying to find the next thing.
And one thing I know about Matt, one thing that I know just being around him, and a lot of people give him a lot of flack for, you know, his play and all that kind of stuff. He is probably the most critical person of himself. With bad things, good things, when even when things going right, he's still critical of ball placement. He's still critical of making sure everybody was in the right spot. So if you think he's not critical of his overall play and he doesn't want to be better, it's just ridiculous to believe that because he is one of those guys who is a stickler for having everything right, being perfect. I remember we're sitting there watching, you know, film. We're watching going over different scenarios in a game, and he's so idea-oriented about how he wants things to be, how he wants guys to be in a perfect spot. So this guy prepares like the best of them. So sometimes things happen. Sometimes defenses are good. Sometimes they have your number. Sometimes they get you, and that's just part of it. And I know he's made some bad decisions here and there, but, you know, that's going to happen. Guys going to throw bad passes. Things are going to happen. But this guy continues to push the envelope and wants to be better every time he steps on the field.
You know, it's funny. I was looking at NFL.com the other day, and they do a great job this time of the year putting out conversation pieces, the way I put it. An article that just says, here's our top five of this, or here's how we rank this. And you kind of go through it, and if you're a fan of a certain team like we are, the Falcons, you look and you go, okay, where are we at? Why are we not here? Well, they did their divisional power rankings, which I thought was fascinating. And the NFC South was ranked sixth out of eight divisions of the National Football League. Think about that for a second. You have a division that had a team a year ago in Carolina that was 15-1 and made it to the Super Bowl. You have a team in Tampa Bay who was rookie of the year in Jameis Winston and is supposed to be an up-and-coming group. You have a team in Atlanta that's went from 4-6-8. You're in year number two under Dan Quinn. You've got a veteran quarterback in Matt Ryan, arguably the best receiver in the league in Julio Jones, and an improving defense. And New Orleans, who, although we love to hate on the Aints, you still have Drew Brees, who can still get it done. You still have Sean Payton, who can get it done. You've got rid of, you know, Rex Ryan. You've got him out of there. I look, and then when you go quarterback, we have the best quarterbacks in the National Football League as a division, yet this division's six. I found that kind of crazy.
Yeah, and that's where I kind of started the division is you look at the quarterbacks that are running this division. You look at where they are in their career, and you look around and say, okay, in the league, any team would love to have any four of these guys on their team. to represent them and be the franchise guy. Jameis Winston, like we mentioned, coming in here this rookie year, started a little bit slow but picked it up. I think he threw for over 3,000-4,000 yards this season. Definitely put his team in position to win. You know, and Drew Brees, come on. I mean, every time he has the ball in his hand, you're worried. Mm-hmm. And that is an ideal sign of this guy can get it done. And obviously Matt and Cam, you know, top this, you know, NFC South. And it's just crazy that, you know, they're six and they continue to get better. And this is going to be one of those divisions that for a while it's been no team has ever won it back-to-back years. I think it's going to go back to that where each team is going to continue to get better. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to win this division. And it's going to be tough for teams out of this division to come in and beat anybody in this NFC South.
You know what I love about that? Let's get it back to that. So Carolina could not have a stranglehold on the division. Because I'm quite
frankly, they've taken over the last few years.
They have. You know, and they've earned it. You take nothing from them. You know, I know it was great for us, and we had a lot of fun on the Falcon Cast talking about that week when we beat Carolina. Mm-hmm. It was nice to be the talk of the National Football League. But you look at the nucleus on that team with Cam Newton and Jonathan Stewart, and now you add a Kelvin Benjamin back with Greg Olsen. Offensively, nobody thought how they were going to be as good as they were a year ago. They were the best offense in the NFL.
Yeah.
And on the defensive side, the interior of the front seven is as good as anybody. And Luke Kuechly and Josh Norman make the back seven fantastic as well. We've got to make things happen between now and the time September comes around to close that gap. The good thing, though, if you've looked over the history of Dan Quinn knows how to beat Cam Newton.
Yeah.
He's proven that.
Yeah. Going to find a way. And that's where it starts. So obviously, Carolina is the top of this division. And there's no way around it. They've done it the last few years. I mean, they just went to the Super Bowl. So, obviously, they're the contenders in this division that everybody's really shooting for. And the best thing you said was, hey, Coach Quinn is going to be the guy who knows how to beat Cam. He's done it before. He's going to bring that here. He's done it this year as well. But we got to continue to build the pieces like they're doing in Carolina so that we're here for 2, 3, 4, 5 years competing for these, you know, division titles every single season.
What makes it tough is you were so close so many years, and we have been. You know, 13-3, then you follow it up with a wild card, and you go 13-3 again and stuff like that. They're close, and I think they will get over the hump, but the draft is going to prove a lot. You know, a couple of moves were made since the last time we did Falcon Cast, and obviously the draft coming up will enhance. Philip Wheeler brought back, and I think that was a great move.
Yeah.
D-Led of the AJC did his depth chart about 2 weeks ago, and I looked at the linebacker position and said, holy cow. Sean Weatherspoon, we love Spoon. Wish I would have found $138,000 check.
Woo!
Share some of that with your boys over here.
Man,
we're hurting. You don't need the money.
No. If I find a check for $138,000, I mean, I don't know how calm he was when he found that check.
How does that work? So then he doesn't have direct deposit?
Well, he does. He said that after that first initial hard copy, he had direct deposit. But usually when you first come in, they give you direct deposit right off the bat, and everything is going sort of straight in. But I guess he got one copy of it.
Don't they only last like 90 days, though?
I don't think so.
A lot of them are usually, I think
usually if they're 90 days or 180 days, usually sometimes. But it's not like they know it's out there. They gotta make. They're gonna issue him another one if it's expired. They got the money to do it. They know they owe it to him, so he's gonna get the money regardless.
I think about that. You know, every time of the year when you get to the winter coat and you have to pull it out for the first time. I found like a 20 in there before, and it's like hitting the lottery. Yeah, free 20. I can't imagine.
Dude, I find $6-7 in like my basketball shorts, and I'm hyped about it.
I think I found
my wife. Now, what if your wife found a $138,000 check? She'd be like, "Babe, you didn't even know you had this, so you might as well."
So yeah, it's not yours anymore.
Let me just go spin it.
I used to love, and this was as a kid. You know, my mom would do laundry, and my laundry'd be in there mixed with everybody else's. And you open the dryer, and there's like $10 in there. No one as a kid, nobody knows. Nobody's missing it because it's in the dryer, and it's like, score.
Free money.
Yeah, it's free money.
Free money.
I used to find money more often on the ground back when I was a kid.
Oh, just walking around?
Yeah, now I haven't found money in my years.
Money don't fall out of trees no more.
True story. The most twice I found this denomination. I was in seventh grade the first time. We had a trip to Disney. School trip. We're in Disney. I'm in line. I think my mom had given me like $30. To have for the day at Disney, which, you know, as a 10-year or 12-year-old, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But that's your food and buy yourself something. So I'm in line buying some candy, and there's a $100 bill, true story, laying on top of the – just, like, off on one of the candy racks. So I stood there for a good, it might have only been 30 seconds. In my mind, it was about 15 minutes.
But you didn't take your eye off that.
Oh,
thing,
I'm no. looking around going, nobody sees this. No, it's just me. And nobody's here. All right, nobody's coming. And needless to say, I had $100 in my pocket. Nice. Oh, and I thought I was the man. I'm buying T-shirts. I come home, my mom's like, how'd you get all that?
Balling.
Second time, I was playing golf down in
Lithonia. You don't find $100 a couple times?
In Lithonia, on the golf course. Now, I've seen you play golf, Shock. Your golf shot goes right down the middle.
Sometimes.
Me, I'm on the periphery of the course. Sometimes. I'm usually in the trees. So I spray one left, and I'm in some tall grass looking for my golf ball. And sure enough, $100 bill laying right on top of the grass, just sitting there. Yep. So I had two different times I found $100 laying around.
Hey, man. How long ago was that?
Yeah, that was like 12 years ago.
So you about due for another one. I need to walk around.
I'm hoping tonight when I head out with the radio station, I'll find it. Yeah, maybe down at Turner Field or something like that.
I wish I was $200, man. Golly, you killing.
Now, point of spoon with $138,000. They signed Philip Wheeler last week, re-signed him. Good stuff there. And Courtney Upshaw, a name kind of out of left field that none of us had thought about.
Right.
26 years old. Played at Alabama, hasn't been a sack master in the National Football League, but a solid starter at one of those outside backer positions.
Yeah, I like Upshaw. I think a couple weeks back we talked about they need to find guys with an edge, a guy who is a little bit nasty, a little bit physical, a little dog like we talked about. Upshaw is that type of guy. You watch him play. You've seen him play in Baltimore. He's that type of player. I think he's going to add some great depth, and that's one thing that we looked at. You also brought it up about that linebacker position in particular needing more depth, whether he goes and, you know, rushes on the outside or, you know, stands up in a two-point, he can do either. I think you have that depth, and I think he's a good addition to it. Like you say, bringing back Philip Wheeler, another athletic linebacker who actually played pretty well for the Falcons last year in the time he was here. So you can see where – Coach Quinn is trying to get this defense, where he's trying to mold the look of it and what he wants it to look like. So if this is any indication of where the draft is going, I think we're going in a positive direction of how he wants his defense to look and how they're going to fly around come this season.
You know, one of the funny things with that, Shock, is I think what you've done in free agency, and granted, you only signed Courtney Upshaw to a one-year deal. Philip Wheeler's being brought back on a short deal as well. What you've done, though, is you haven't pigeonholed yourself into having to take a certain position. Mm-hmm. Like, in the past, it seems like, okay, the Falcons have to take a DN, and it doesn't matter who, what, where. We're taking a defensive end, whoever's sitting there. You've done enough defensively, maybe not in pass rush, but you've re-signed players. You've got Claiborne coming back. Schofield's still sitting there if you want to go out and bring him back. You've moved some other places around. You hope Brooks Reed's healthy. You brought in enough backers. Your DBs are fine. You can maybe use a safety, maybe use a tight end. You filled a lot of the gaps. So you could literally go to best player available at number 17, or if you're feeling chippy, trade back, add some picks later on in the draft, which you could use. You only have 5 draft choices this whole year, and take the best players available.
I think that's where you go. I think that's where, like you mentioned, where the draft is, where you slotted in that 17 position. You're going to have a chance to be able to do some things that you want to do. And I think having that 17 spot, you're going to be in position because they're going to be – we've seen crazy things happen in the draft where guys get picked up. A lot of key positions get taken up, and they may be one of your guys on your board, and you have to just take the best available. And right now you set yourselves up where you're able to take the best available at 17. So I wouldn't be surprised if – they go away from what everybody thinks of, which is a linebacker or a defensive end, and they get somebody else at another position, like a safety, to shore up the back end. But I think you're in a good position right now with what you've done in the offseason and then where you stand in the draft.
And that's a good thing. To go into the offseason, you're 8-8. You had a defense that improved. You have an offense that obviously with 27 guys down in South Florida is going to be working on their craft, trying to get better. It's nice to see that you don't have to force anything. Yeah. And I love – the roster churn. I know we talked about this during the regular season. Seattle had like 100 roster moves the first 2 or 3 years with Pete Carroll. They were constantly looking to get the right combination. And they got lucky with some. You know, you draft a Cam Chancellor a little bit late. You draft a Richard Sherman late. Bobby Wagner's like a second or third rounder. You found pieces to fit. But you also got lucky with Michael Bennett. 1 year, $5 million to start. You signed different players like that, and it all came together. And you hope that that's the point that the Falcons are pointing to.
I think they're in a position where they know what they want their defense to look like. And they know the type of players that fit the mold of this particular scheme. They know the guys that fit the mold of those particular guys. So they got to make sure they find those type of players to fit the mold and be able to be productive in this, you know, in this type of scheme that they want to run. So we'll see.
A lot of other stuff we'll get into throughout the next couple of weeks as we get ready for the draft. I'm sure we'll have something special planned come draft time. Yeah. I know I've got a draft show on the radio, so Wes, Arch, and I will be out somewhere. I don't know where. Maybe we might be right here, to be honest with you, at Flowery Branch. But we'll get into some other stuff in the next couple of weeks. We're going to have some fun the rest of the program. Buy or sell time. This is one of my favorite things to do. And Bosek, you're going to moderate the buy or sell. Shock, you know how this works?
I do.
Okay.
Right. I do.
Let's get after it. DJ, you just mentioned that the Falcons only have 5 picks in this draft. So I'm curious, buy or sell, Falcons trade during the draft to acquire more picks?
I'm buying this. I think the Falcons will acquire more picks because that's what the norm is of TD. He's done that in the wild. And I think, like we mentioned, that 17th spot. Mm-hmm. If things don't go the way that you know want them to go, you have a chance to maybe move back. Maybe there's not an ideal guy you want at 17. Maybe the guys are already gone, and you know you don't think the guy that you know next on your board is worthy of 17. So you can move back and maybe acquire another pick here in another spot or round. So I buy that. I think it will happen.
I will buy as well. And when I looked at the draft, and I start to look at positions teams typically value. Quarterback is number one, and there's two quarterbacks that have separated themselves from the rest of the draft, and then there's a cluster of guys you start to go, can we afford to wait till the second round to go get them? And Paxton Lynch is one of them. Yeah. Connor Cook might be a lower round pick, but there are guys that are going to start to look at quarterback. Receiver, Laquon Treadwell didn't run near as well as people thought. He ran a 4.6 in his pro day at Ole Miss. There's going to be people that may pass on him at number 10, but then look at the talent around 14, 15, 16, 17 and say, man, I can't pass on this guy. And I think there's a way to acquire some picks. And I think Thomas realizes there are more holes to fill than just 5 selections. So if you could trade back from 17 to, and I'm just throwing out an arbitrary number, like 27, and trading back those 10 spots acquires you another third, mm-hmm. and maybe you can flip that third into a fourth and a fifth, and the next thing you know, you trade one and end up with 3 or 4 more picks. I think that's the way you go about it this year. You're good enough to where you don't have to reach for a player, but you're not good enough to stand pat and sit with just 5 picks.
Yeah, like and I'm buying as well, by the way, just to throw that out there. I think they need to acquire more picks, just like same reasons you all mentioned. Next one, buy or sell. Falcons' turnover margin will be positive. Last year, the Falcons finished 27th in the league last year in turnovers at -7. Panthers were first with +20.
J. Mike, I'll let you start this.
The number one reason the Atlanta Falcons did not make the playoffs is that stat right there. Yeah. How many games did you go in and you move the ball 20-20 and get inside the red zone? And turn the football over?
Yeah.
Matt Ryan will be the first to tell you. Dan Quinn, how many times did he say,
oh, yeah,
to start his press conference?
We're about the ball.
Every press conference.
Yeah. We got to protect the ball. At worst, this year, they'll be back to even. And that's twofold. A, offense doesn't turn it over. And B, I think another year in the defensive scheme, you're more comfortable and you come up with turnovers. The Panthers were +20.
+20.
You know how you make the Super Bowl? +20.
I looked up 2013, +20 for the Seahawks that year.
That's how you make it to the Super Bowl.
Here's a tough one because we talked about the Panthers and not every drive, but a lot of their drives, and you watch their games, they always somehow, some way ended up with great field position offensively with the ball maybe at the 50-yard line, mm-hmm. maybe at the 40, positive 40 going the other way because their defense always gave them short fields yep. or they turned the football over. And I think what you mentioned, what's going to help this offense is the defense being able to take the ball away more. Mm-hmm. I think we saw that last year in the first year. Quinn stressed it. We talked about what he says in his press conference. Guys, it's about the ball. Yep. And I'm sure he stresses that more than anything. I think they start practice trying to strip the ball, trying to get the ball. That's what it's about, I think, in year two. You'll see a spike up, and you're hoping they're in the positive, but I think they won't be 27th in the league this year because of the defense will definitely be more. And I think there will be a very considerable interest in what happens in the red zone this year.
If they can go from 27th to 17th,
That's like three, four more
That's
wins.
Three more wins, yeah. at least, and yeah. you're in the playoffs.
And I think the addition of Alex Mack is going to help that at least,
yeah.
at least
yeah,
three or four
I
times.
Can count at least three turnovers yeah. from that exchange before.
So we're at minus four right there. So we're already doing better.
Right. We're
All right.
Good.
By ourselves, Falcons will have 35 or more sacks in 2016. Falcons finished last in the league last year at 19. Broncos finished first with 52. Ooh, and wow. To put a mark on it, Falcons, I'm asking you if they'll have 35. Bears and Colts finished 22nd in the league last year with 35. So 35 isn't good, but
you
it's
know
an
what?
Improvement.
I'm going to sell this. I don't think you get 35. 35, it sounds like a lot, especially compared to when you had 19 this last year. I think you're going to do better. You're going to find a considerable way to get more sacks. But I don't see the Falcons right now getting 35. They got to have a little bit more. We've seen some guys coming here. We've seen the offseason acquisitions. We don't know what the draft holds yet, what kind of guy is going to come into the fold here. I think you become better. I think you get more than 19. I don't think you become last in the league this year. But I think 35 is still a major stretch. That's 15 more sacks. So that's, you know, two, three, four more guys getting at least two or three more sacks than they did last year. So I think that's a stretch at 35. 35 is still not enough, but I don't think we get to 35 this next year yet.
Yeah, if you would have said 25, I'd say yes. I just have to say no. I, as much as you've tried to address, and we've said, hey, there's been some pieces moved around, and you've added some guys to the defensive side of the ball, the one thing you have yet to add, and it could happen at number 17 in the draft or number 10 or number 30, wherever you end up picking in the first round, you've yet to find a guy opposite Vic Beasley that is a true fire breather off the edge. We all like Claiborne. We all like Adrian. Great dude. Plays with unbelievable intensity. He's not a double-digit sack guy. He's just not. He gives you eight this year, you'd be ecstatic. Right. You hope that Vic can go from, what, 4.5 to 8 or 9?
Yeah.
You'd love to see him take a Khalil Mack type of leap and get to 13.
But what you like is I thought that Vic came on towards the end of the
year.
He had a lot more pressures.
Sure.
He had more chances at the quarterback. There was a couple of times where he had the quarterback and let him go. I think he, like you mentioned, that can go from 4 to 8 just by making those plays right there.
I'd like to see it go to about 12 or 13, but I'm selling. I think you're probably in the 25 to 30 range in the sack category.
And here's the thing. We talked about Denver having 52, and you talk about what they had up front.
Yeah.
I mean, Vic Wolf. Oh. I mean, you talk about, yeah, DeMarcus Ware on one side, Von Miller on the other side.
Malik Jackson.
Malik. I mean, it's hard to block all those guys, and it's a lot of one-on-ones. So you got not just one major pass rusher. You got mm-hmm. two, three, or four in there that can really, really add to the fold of that. So that's what the Falcons want. I think they're looking for guys like that.
Right.
And I don't think we have those just yet.
And 52 is a great number, but how many times do they make a quarterback throw early? Yeah. How many times they make a quarterback run around? Ask Cam Newton. How many times
so
you
it
could
have been worse.
You get the pass off and you got a helmet right there between the solar plexus.
Yeah.
As I turn into Gordon Solar. There's a hit between the solar plexus. Anybody watching WrestleMania this weekend? Just me.
I'm not a Russell guy.
I'm not a Russell guy. You need Jay here for that.
I don't understand you.
You need
Jay. You're a Jay Russell guy. Yeah. Russell guys.
So. I think I read somewhere that if the Falcons improve their turnover margin and have more sacks this year, they'll make the playoffs. So
those are big factors. I wouldn't put that by my – I think that's a
– Is that a buy or sell?
If they go
there
up?
You go. Buy or sell it.
Buy or sell. Make the playoffs.
Buy or sell.
Buy or sell. Mm-hmm. Falcons make playoffs.
I'm buying it. I think they will. I think offensively you're going to be better. We talked about Alex Mack. He's going to make that offense tremendously better. Matt's coming into his eighth year. We've seen what he's doing now in his offseason. Devontae Freeman, you got a proven running back. Julio on the outside. You got a Sanu coming in here. You got Justin Hardy, who's coming off a rookie year where he's feeling a little confident about himself. So offensively, I think you will be better than last year. You have to be better than 24 points a game. Defensively, you're bringing in pieces to make yourself better. I think in the secondary, you're going to be better than you've probably been in, you know, past 3, 4, 5 years, and that's going to help you. Pass rush is going to come. I think that's going to come. It's going to be a lot better offensively and defensively. I think those two or three wins last year, there were games where you had the game won going into the fourth quarter and you lost it. Obviously, that six-game losing streak was not ideal, but there were games that you should have won, and I think that they found a way to win those games this season.
I'll buy as well. I think they make the playoffs. And one of the most overrated things going into the National Football League season is when people go, Team A has the hardest schedule in the league. And Team A happens to be the Falcons this year. Last year you went into the season and you had the worst teams against. But remember what it was at the beginning of the year. Oh, there's no way you're going to beat the Eagles, and you're not going to beat the Cowboys. You know, this team's probably going to start 0-3 because you got the Giants on the road as well. That's what I heard the entire offseason. Yeah. The beginning of this schedule is murderer's row.
Just get through the front. Yes, get through the first.
And the next thing you know, you're 5-0, and then all of us start to look ahead and go, wow, now this part of the schedule is really easy.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you're 0-6 or you're 1-6 in that stretch. I think it's overrated a little bit how good the schedule is going to be. Part of that's the fact you play Carolina twice. That's 30 wins on the schedule. You also play Denver, who had, what, 12 wins a year ago or 13 wins?
Yeah.
Denver's not going to be as good as they were a year ago. Who's their quarterback right now?
Mark Sanchez.
Suddenly going to the Mile High City seems a lot easier. Yes. You know, we play the Rams. Have fun with that. Yep. You know, so I think it is overrated. And to echo everything that DJ said, you've made a lot of improvements. I don't know that you win the division, be quite honest with you. I think Carolina, until proven differently, is
they
the class.
They have to be the front runner.
They're
the
class of the division.
Yeah.
Can you make a wild card? Absolutely. You were in the wild card hunt right to the end of the year last year.
Yeah. You're always in position, man.
So you don't think DJ Falcons would make NFC South champions?
That's a tough one, man. Like I mentioned, if right now I can't give it to the Falcons right now because of Carolina. I mean, you look at the last 3 years, it's been Carolina. Mm-hmm. And they are right now the leaders of the NFC South. And until anybody knocks them off, you just can't give anybody else the title. And that's been proven over the years, and you got to go out and earn it. And once you go out and earn it, that's a possibility. So, but right now, Carolina is the team to beat. They mm-hmm. got a lot of pieces coming back. They got a lot of things in place already. So it's going to be tough to beat Carolina right now where they're standing.
To be the man, you got to beat the man.
No doubt about it.
They're the best thing going right now.
Sad to hear that, though.
It's sad, but it's real.
No, I'm going to have hope.
Yeah, well, we all have hope.
We all have hope.
Trust me, as soon as we get through Labor Day, I'm going to be saying playoffs and bring it on, Carolina.
All right, let's get a little off topic. Let's want to hear my break with Bosa.
Absolutely. Let's go,
bro. Let's
do that.
All right. If you had to live inside of a TV show, like you're living in the TV show's world, which one would you choose?
This is so unfair. I read this question, and there's about 10 TV shows I wanted to list.
I had a few on myself.
The first one that comes to mind for me, it's all about the hottie factor. Like, I got to see what women are there. And I don't know how many of you guys watch Devious Maids.
Uh-uh.
Nope.
Nothing but hot Latinas.
What channel is that?
I don't even know. Rosalind Sanchez, who was in Rush Hour 2, she's
in
there.
Seen her.
Daniel Ramirez, who was one of Turtles' dating interests in Entourage.
What's it called? Devious Maids?
Devious Maids. Now, the show is not very good.
Where does that come on?
I don't know. I flipped past, and I saw like 9 hot women. I said, this
what is
awesome.
This?
But that wouldn't be my answer.
Okay.
The second one I thought of was Family Guy.
Yeah.
Because Brian the dog is the coolest person on earth, and I think living with Peter Griffin would be loads of fun. And
yeah.
I'd probably hang out with Quagmire a little bit, but that's just me because he has things go on at that house that don't happen in normal homes. But you'd laugh the place I would most want to live, and maybe it was because it was the show that I loved the most as a kid / teenager. I wanted to live with Mr. Bundy, Mrs. Bundy, Peggy and Al Bundy. I wanted to be on Married with Children.
Married with the Children.
Just for
Christina
Applegate.
Daughter. That's the daughter,
Kelly
right?
Bundy.
Yeah, Kelly. Yeah.
And the Bundy Bounce.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah. I got two off the top of my head. It's because I still watch it to this day. And every time I watch it, it's kind of like Coming to America, Bosek, for me. But I've probably seen every episode.
I know where you're going with this.
I love to watch Martin.
I knew it.
The life that Martin lived, what this kind of stuff he went through, the kind of stuff that him, Tommy, Cole, like, I mean, I just want to be one of the boys that just hang out with Martin, man. That was classic for me. And then another one, you guys ever seen Prison Break?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
My man, what's it, Schofield?
Schofield, mm-hmm. Michael Schofield. Yeah.
Dude, I just want to sit with that dude
he's a genius.
And just, yeah, and be like, dude, how you think about
it? You know,
that?
They're renewing it.
No
they got
way.
A new season coming out.
You lying.
I'm not lying.
Shut up.
Yeah.
When?
They got Burroughs coming back. They got Saratan Credit coming back.
Yeah, right.
They're all coming back. T-Bag's coming back. He's
not
great.
T-Bag.
He's a great villain. He's coming back.
T-Bag's creepy
back.
Dude, man.
Yeah.
Not going to lie. I would have loved to live on the set of Entourage as well.
I
just wanted to be
live
Turtle.
Live that life one time.
I wanted to be Turtle. Now, I wouldn't be the weed-smoking guy, but just, hey, you want me to drive and I'm living in this mansion? Again, the hottie factor.
You want to live in the Entourage movie so you could be Turtle and date
Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Ronda would be.
Get bammed out. Bosek, what about you, man?
Yeah, my first gut answer was Family Guy. just because it's a cartoon, so you can just do whatever you want.
Right.
Peter Griffin, there's an episode, he's got like theme music when he walks around. Yeah, I think that'd be amazing just to have theme music when I'm walking around.
Just to have Meg talk to you, knowing that her voice is really Mila Kunis.
Something else. I like Prison Break, though. That's good.
Prison Break, good one, right?
To be like Michael's cellmate or something and try to escape prison, that'd be fun.
I would not want to be on like the show Lost. I wouldn't want to be.
Would any of you done Survivor?
Yeah, I would.
I actually tried for it.
Did you?
No, I didn't make it. I sent the video in, and they never called me back.
Really?
I would.
You wouldn't want to try that?
Dude, I would.
Go out there and freaking lose 30 pounds?
Well, that would have been all. I'd do it now. Could they do Survivor like at the Georgia Dome? They just stick me out there for like a week? See if I can find food.
What about Walking Dead? Would you guys live in the Walking Dead?
No.
Boy,
hey,
rough.
I don't believe in all that nonsense.
That's rough living.
But no, I don't want to be anywhere where I'm about to die every time I walk outside.
Can't even sleep, man.
You guys got anything for the final play?
Oh, man. Final play. What we got coming up? We got let's go a little off topic.
Right.
We talked Falcons. We've talked some little Final Four's coming up.
Yes. Ooh, boy, right. You read my mind.
Final Four, baby. Who we got? Who we got? I'll tell you right now. Nova and North Carolina intrigued me so much, but Syracuse has really surprised me. The 10th seed showing up. I mean, they're long. They can shoot. I mean, but Nova and Carolina are the most intriguing to me. Nova's tough for me right now.
Yeah, they're playing at the top of their game.
Oof. You guys don't like Oklahoma either?
Buddy Hield, but here's the thing. Buddy Hield's going to get you 30. He's one of those guys where, hey, let him get his points.
Teammates.
But everybody else, right? Yep. That's what I'm saying. Everybody else. And I think Nova would just be too much for him.
I hate it because I want to say Carolina, but that's just the easy pick. So
it's not really easy, though. I don't think it's cut and dry.
Villanova,
like that.
After they smash my Canes.
They look good. They look good for
Ryan Archidiakono making everything.
I remember I was texting
Chris Jenkins making everything. There was like 14 minutes left, and I said, this is over.
I was like, come on, Canes. What's up? He said, it's done. It's over.
I knew that was over.
He was hot.
I still have a grudge against Nova because 2 years ago my alma mater was in at Milwaukee Panthers, and they got crushed the first round.
You know what's also pretty cool? Former Falcon, Brian Finneran.
Yep.
He's called the game.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Wes is actually doing the thing for TNT, Wes Durham,
that's awesome.
with North Carolina.
Yeah.
So he actually flew out today.
Brendan, who's the guy who's calling? He's calling with what's the big center who played for North Carolina?
Brad Daugherty?
No, it's not Brad. It's Brendan, big tall.
I know who you're talking about. Brendan Haywood.
Brendan Haywood. Yeah. Brendan Haywood's doing it with Wes, I think.
Yeah, they're doing like the Carolina Cash. You know, they're doing this sort of like the Super Bowl. I am taking North Carolina. I picked them before the bracket started.
Oh, wow.
Not one to brag, but I'll brag anyway.
I let my brag Michigan for
State,
me. Like,
no, I had Michigan State losing. I had all of my Final Four into the Elite Eight. Only two made it, and that was Oklahoma and North Carolina. I had Kansas. I also had Virginia, who gacked away a chance to be there. Not one to brag, though, but before the Sweet 16 or before the Elite 8 even started, I won my bracket. $10 buy-in. Let's just say I'm not quite getting money.
So you were the last one left?
I had the most points. Nobody could catch me.
Really?
Before the Elite 8 started, I did the math. I said, holy cow, I won. So the guy that runs the pool sent me a text. Dude, you won. I can't mail anything out till after the tournament because I got to wait to see who finished
what
second, third, and fourth.
What did you win?
$10 buy-in.
Well, guess.
I'm going to get about $1,400.
Shut up! $1,400?
There was like 400 entries.
Wow.
I'll That's show you. And this doesn't do
Shut
justice.
Up, really?
Yeah, this doesn't do justice on the podcast. My buddy sends me a picture. This is right after the Elite Eight was set. And sends me this and basically says, blank you. How did you – all the greens are the correct picks.
Wow.
It was the most dumb luck in the history of the bracket. I got the entire West bracket 100% right.
Wow.
I didn't miss a game.
Sure
wow.
did.
Wow.
Like, literally, had Oregon over Duke.
Was that the only bracket you did? Or
yep,
did you do
only
multiple?
One. That's
oh,
it.
Wow.
It's the only one.
Nice.
Two out of the four, huh? Two out of four in the Final Four.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I miss Virginia. You know, Virginia should have been there, but give
Cuse
credit.
I would have thought Virginia, too, man. That's awesome. That's
yeah.
1,400. What you going to do with the 1,400?
I have a wedding to start planning.
This is Spoon right here.
No,
just
I earned
the 1,400.
Yeah, right.
I earned my. Well, I guess he earned his too. It was his check.
He earned it.
It's not like somebody just gave him a check.
You got a wedding, and you're going out of town in a little bit, man.
Now you
got to
lose that money, and then in a few months when you move, you got to find
and
the
then
money.
Find it. Yeah. No, that money's – the fiancé's already like, so you're getting all this money, right? Yeah. So, are we going shopping? No, we have a wedding to play. Well, we gotta splurge a little bit. And I'm like, all right. We'll
all right, so y'all two got Carolina, and I got Nova.
Mm-hmm. You got Nova? I'll go Oklahoma. We'll go all three different people.
Okay.
I'm going Oklahoma.
Is this a picks to click? And we know Jay has Syracuse.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
He's obviously a Syracuse guy.
Here we go.
All right, this might be a picks to click.
This might be just like the regular season with me going to win. So, okay,
yeah, that means if you're a betting man, bet on Villanova. The Shocks won all the time. Been a lot of fun this week. You guys can check us out next week on FalconCast, AtlantaFalcons.com. Check us out on iTunes. Bosek Shock, great job as always.
Oh, yeah,
and we'll holler at you next week. Hopefully Jay's okay. See you, Jay.